is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Harri Mannonen from Pelikarhut Kotka, Finland. I'm the author of ebook Complex Basketball Coaching, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And we are jumping out tonight to talk some NBA. It is a slow period right now in the NBA. So we have a couple of topics.
Slow, Mike? What are you talking about?
That we're going to touch on. You'll see once we get to our topics, I guess. Before we jump to those, I just want to remind all of our coaches out there that may be listening, especially if you're in the Cleveland area or the state of Ohio, or you're interested in traveling for one of our coaches' clinics. We have the very first Hoopheads Buckeye Coaches Clinic that we are putting on in conjunction with Matt Smith from United Basketball Clinics, who just wrapped up his clinic at the Hoosier Gym in Indiana this past weekend. But we hope that you will be able to join us in Cleveland on September 25th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Olmsted Falls High School. We've got a great list of speakers. It's going to be an outstanding clinic on the floor. Come and grow and learn as a coach. You can check it all out at hoopheadspod.com. Just look for the Buckeye Coaches Clinic in the menu. Click on that. It'll get you all the information that you need and get you a place where you can go to the registration page and sign up for the Buckeye Coaches Clinic. So please check that out, and we hope to see a bunch of you in person instead of just speaking at you over the airwaves. So that's my little plug, Jay, and we are ready to jump into our NBA talk for tonight.
All right. Well, the first had involved the York Cleveland Cavaliers, Mike. Last week, it was right after we recorded. It was, the next day. The Cavs traded, in a sign-in trade, they got Lauri Markkanen for 4 years, $67 million. They traded away Larry Nance Jr. The Bulls got Derek Jones Jr. and a protected first-round pick from Portland. Okay. So those are so all three of these players, not what I would say superstars, or not what I would say super key players. However, if I was to pick what team benefits the most from this three-team trade at this moment, what team do I think? I think the Portland Trail Blazers got better. Because I think Larry Nance Jr., I don't know, when I originally thought about it, I thought he would be really good. But then I heard them talking on the Ringer NBA show about how him and Dame running pick and rolls, that's actually kind of scary because Larry Nance Jr. can attack the basket. And I know, Kevin O'Connor is a huge fan of Larry Nance Jr. and everything, but I truly believe that I think Portland, of the three teams, got the best piece for their team. I don't necessarily know, is it going to make Portland a I don't think Larry Nance Jr. makes Portland a championship contender. However, I would much rather have Larry Nance Jr. than Derek Jones Jr. Do you agree or disagree, Mike?
I agree with that 100%. I don't think Larry Nance makes Portland any more of a legitimate title contender than they were before that trade. I do think he makes them better. I do think that Larry Nance fits with a contending team much better than he fits with a rebuilding team in terms of what his value is in contributing to winning. I think Larry Nance is a winning player. I think he's a guy who is going to make a good team better. I don't think he's good enough to lift a bad team, if that makes any sense. I think he's really good playing off of other good players. I think he has the ability to kind of fill in and be a jack of all trades and do a lot of things, especially as his jumper continues to develop. He's a good passer. He's a good defender, can defend multiple positions out on the floor. And as you said, he's going to be a good pick and roll partner for Damian Lillard. So yeah, it's a good pickup for Portland. However, if I was looking at and thinking about making a prediction about where Portland's going to finish, I don't know that the presence of Larry Nance Jr. is going to make a huge difference in where I would slot Portland. It's not like I would have had Portland at the 7 spot and now I'm moving up.
They are better defensively with Larry Nance Jr. over Derek Jones Jr.
They are, but you're never going to have a good defensive team in Portland when your starting backcourt is Lillard and McCollum. It's just not going to happen. I don't care how good your front court defense is when your backcourt.
And they lost a stalwart in Carmelo Anthony in the defensive end of the floor as well, Mike.
There you go. So without Carmelo, their defense is going to just crater, I would expect. Anyway, my point is that I don't think that Larry Nance Jr. moves the needle as far as Portland's ability to contend for a title. And if you're Portland, you're thinking about how do we keep Dame Lillard happy? How do we keep him in Portland? How do we convince him that we are building a championship roster? Larry Nance is maybe a small, teeny tiny step towards that. But short of probably a McCollum trade, I don't know that there's anything that's going to move the needle in a big way that's going to push Portland back past some of the teams that we know are going to be at the top of the Western Conference. And it's a good pickup for Portland, certainly giving up Derek Jones Jr., who I think probably figured more into their plans at the beginning of last season. And then as the season went along, his playing time became less and less. So to lose him in this trade is basically a loss of nothing, and bringing in Larry Nance is definitely a net positive, but I don't think it moves the needle in any huge way for them.
Okay, so what's obviously Chicago and Lauri Markkanen have gone, like, that relationship had soured. You know, I felt like he had a great rookie season, and then he kind of fell off. So Chicago gets Derek Jones Jr. Do you really think, I mean, to me, I don't know that they got better. I don't know if they got worse, because I really don't know how big of an impact Derek Jones is going to have on what Chicago is trying to do. I mean, maybe he'll see some time on the floor, but, you know, obviously they didn't want Lauri around. So what do you think of the Chicago gaining Derek Jones Jr. in the protected first pick? Is that really what they wanted, was the first round pick, and they had to take Derek Jones Jr. to make the money work, Mike?
Yeah, I'm not sure that Derek Jones Jr. is the guy that they were targeting. I do think they probably wanted that lottery-protected first-round pick from Portland, although there's a lot of heavy protection on that. It's protected 1 through 14 through 2028, and then it becomes a second-round pick. So the best that the Bulls can possibly hope to do with that is the 15th pick sometime between now and 2028. So I'm not sure that that pick is tremendously valuable, but they are sort of restocking their trade war chest, so to speak, because they traded out a couple of those number one picks with that Orlando trade for Vucevic. So I think that's what they were after. I think with Markkanen, it's a case of they didn't want to pay him. It's not necessarily that Markkanen is an ineffective player, or that in a vacuum, they might not want to have Markkanen on their team, that they still didn't think that he had some potential, but they just didn't want to pay him. And as a result
of
that...
Do you want to pay him? Like, do you want to pay him the amount of money the Cavs paid him?
Well, I think when you look at the totality of the contract and you hear 4 years, $67 million, my initial reaction to that is, no, I don't want to pay Lauri Markkanen for 4 years, $67 million. But then you break it down year after year, year over year, and it's something like he's getting paid 15 the first year, then it goes up to 16.5 and then 17.5 and then it finishes at 18. And I think that last year is only guaranteed up to $6 million, so $12 million or so of it is not guaranteed. And when you think about that number, it doesn't sound that outrageous when you compare it to what other guys around the league are making. It's still a big contract. It's still a risk on the Cavaliers' part. But you are talking about a guy who's 24 years old, who was the seventh pick in the draft. I look at his career statistics. He averages 30 minutes a game, 44% from the field, 36% from three, 85% from the foul line, averages 7 rebounds a game in his career, and just over 15 and a half points per game. So, and he's a 7-footer. Now look, he's never going to rebound like a 7-footer, but he can clearly shoot it. As you said, during his rookie year, it looked like he had the potential to be much more than what he's become to this point. Who knows why that is? Is that something to do with his work ethic? Is that something to do with injuries? Is that something to do with his attitude? Is that something that went on behind the scenes with the Bulls? And who knows what that might mean? I think from the Cavs' perspective, it was a worthwhile gamble to take a look at a guy that has the kind of offensive talent and shooting talent that Markkanen has. When you're a young team, Markkanen's 24, the main pieces on this team are all young guys that are 23, 24, and younger. Larry Nance at 28. It's weird to say, oh, they don't fit their timeline because the Cavs are so far away from a timeline even mattering. But I do think Markkanen fits with this core in terms of his age. Whether or not he fits with the skill set and being able to put their best players out on the floor, that I'm not 100% sure of. I think the biggest thing that the Cavs have to be concerned about, and when I was reading some of the offseason grades for the Cavaliers, most experts that I saw did not like the Cavaliers' offseason moves. And most of it, I think, centered around signing Jared Allen and then making this trade. And the argument that I saw was is that your team could end up getting pretty expensive pretty quickly. And you might have an expensive team that, to say the least, hasn't done a whole lot. Because Sexton's up for an extension this summer. Garland next summer. Then you got Markkanen, who you just signed for 4 years, $67 million. You got Jared Allen at 5 years, $100 million. That's where I think a lot of the Sexton trade rumors were coming from, right? That they don't want to sign. They can't sign all these guys. Okoro's in his second year, so he's still got a couple years. And obviously Mobley. They have a nice young core, but you might end up paying all these guys if you want to keep them around before they actually do anything, before they actually win in the NBA and prove themselves as winning players. And that's where you get in trouble. If you look 3 years from now or 2 years from now, whatever, if you got all those guys on their rookie, you know, the rookie extension contract, whatever, their second contract, that team's going to be pretty expensive. And I'm not sure what it's going to have done at that point, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think what you said makes sense. My big thing was when I first saw the trade, and I also was texting with our Cavalier Central host, Justin Matcham, about like, the trade theoretically makes sense, but also at the same time, like you said, money's not going to fall out of the sky eventually here, and I don't know what the plan is with Sexton and Garland. I don't think anyone really does, except for Colby Alton and the Cavaliers front office. But like, the problem is now, like, even if you want to try to get a free agent, I just don't know that they can afford him. And I know that your big thing is no free agents coming to Cleveland. If they didn't come when LeBron's coming, they're not coming. Like, and I can buy into that. But if we're gonna make a step forward, I just think that I don't know. I think Kevin Love, the Albatross contract that is Kevin Love, is really hindering us. The fact that he's basically refusing the buyout. I read that report today. Like, he doesn't want to take the buyout the Cavs are offering him, a.k.a. give me more money. That's a huge problem for us because if he's not going to be...
But is it really a huge problem at this point? You're going to pay him for two more years. Chances are at some point they reach a buyout agreement. I would have to think maybe the Cavs come up and meet his price. Maybe he comes down. We all know that right now it's probably a public negotiation trying to figure out. He loves trying to squeeze him for as much money as he can before he gets out of town and goes and signs with the Lakers or wherever he's going to go. But even if he sticks around for 2 years and you have to pay him, this team is in no way, shape, or form going to be ready to sign a free agent, even if it's not a marquee free agent. But let's say it's a mid-tier free agent, somebody who could help them if they're legitimately, let's say, a back end of the East playoff team in a year or two. So let's say all these young guys continue to develop and 2 years from now, they're a team that's contending for that 5-6 spot in the East, which is wildly optimistic. Well, you're not getting a top-tier NBA free agent to come to Cleveland, so maybe you're now talking about those mid-tier guys.
Hey, we had Dwayne Wade once, Mike.
We did have Dwayne Wade, but that was a slightly older version of Dwayne Wade. Let's just be kind. I just don't think that the Love contract, sure, I'm not the one signing the checks, so I guess I wouldn't be excited if I was Dan Gilbert to pay Kevin Love $62 million or $63 million, whatever it is that he's owed over the next 2 years. But I also don't think that's handcuffing the Cavs from making all these moves and signing a bunch of free agents because I don't think they're at that spot. I do think the ability to get Markkanen on a four-year deal where they have at least an option in the fourth year to only have to pay him $6 million and then get off of that contract. It seems like a reasonable flyer to take on a guy who looked like at one point in his career that he was going to be something more than what he's become. And so for the Cavs right now, you can break it all down and it comes down to who is Evan Mobley? Is Evan Mobley going to be an NBA All-Star? Is Evan Mobley going to be a consistent starter? What is Evan Mobley? And if Evan Mobley's not a star, then these other pieces around him don't make nearly as much sense. Because I don't think anybody else they have on this roster is a guy who's going to carry a franchise very far in the playoffs. I think Garland is a good player. I think Colin Sexton is a good player. I think Okoro is going to be a good player. But none of those guys are going to be a guy that you're going to build your team around. And potentially, Mobley is a guy that if he develops the way that a lot of experts think that he could, he might be able to be that guy with his defensive versatility, with his ability to pass the ball, with his ability to shoot, put the ball on the floor as a big man. He has some potential to be a franchise player. Now, he's a long way away from that as a 19-year-old kid. But for the Cavs to really look at becoming a threat in the playoffs in any way, shape, or form, Mobley has to be the guy that develops into the star because I don't think these other guys, as good as they might end up being, I don't think any of them are going to carry the mantle of being a franchise player. And yet, I think they're all good players. Like I think all three of Okoro, Garland, and Sexton are all good players. And if you added Markkanen and he ends up sort of panning out and being better than what he was in the last few years in Chicago. And we kind of know what Jared Allen is. He's never going to be a star, but could he be a valuable piece of a playoff team? I think probably. So there's some things to work with here. But as we always say, in Cleveland and in other mid-tier markets, if Milwaukee doesn't have Giannis, the rest of it doesn't matter because nobody's going to Milwaukee if Giannis isn't there. And as good as Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday are, if you're trying to build your team around those two and there's no Giannis, good luck. You're looking at you're a middle of the pack team in the NBA at best without that star player. And so that's where the Cavs are. But I like the marketing deal. I like taking a flyer on a younger guy that could potentially be something. Why not?
So StatMuse is a Twitter account. I don't know if you've ever seen StatMuse.
I have seen. I like their artwork.
Well, today an hour ago, they posted the Cavaliers' new starting five. Are you ready?
You're laughing.
Taco point guard, Taco Fall. Shooting guard, Lauri Markkanen. Small forward, Kevin Love. Power forward, Evan Mobley. And center, Jared Allen.
We're going really big. Well, we're trying to zig while the rest of the league is zagging. How about that?
That's a good one. So, yeah, the Cavs also signed Taco Fall. Obviously, he's a non-guaranteed deal. It's basically a roster, a camp invite. That's pretty cool. I like Taco Fall. So, there you go. Anyways, so we'll see what happens with the Cavs. You know, here we are. It's August 31st, and the season starts in a month and a half.
The Cavs are making the most news in the NBA.
They are.
This trade and the Kevin Love buyout, I guess other than maybe Rondo getting bought out and going to the Lakers.
Yep.
Otherwise, there really hasn't been much news. Are you tired of slipping and sliding on the court and sticky sheets just aren't giving you grip? Grip Spritz solves this problem without having to lick your hand to clean your shoes. Grip Spritz is used by countless AAU, high school and college programs, semi-pro teams, as well as NCAA athletes and G League players. Unlike other products, Grip Spritz has solutions for individual players, not just entire teams. We've used Grip Spritz at our Head Start basketball camps and players love it. To keep you and your team from slipping and sliding, visit gripspritz.net to learn more. So the other thing that dropped today was...
Ben Simmons told the Sixers, I don't want to be on Philadelphia anymore. I want to be traded. Obviously, it probably would have made it a lot easier for the Sixers if he would have just straight up said that like a month ago, but maybe he didn't want to say that to the Sixers. So now the Sixers are in a position of no power, in my opinion, because all the teams know he wants to be gone. So now it's just about trying to figure out what the best offer they can get for him if they can, or if they can try to talk him off the ledge. But I'm going to guess that he's too far gone at this point after everything that's happened, in my opinion. So we'll have to see. You know, there's been lots of different things. I saw some reports that the Cavs would be interested, but I don't think they can put a package together. I don't know. I mean, Kevin Love would have to be at the center of that package, and I don't think that doesn't make Philadelphia better. That's not making them drool. Ooh, Kevin Love, who hasn't played a successful season, and oh, yeah, Jerry Colangelo basically called him out for his nonsense for Team USA. And, like, listen, I love Kevin Love. I think he's a huge for our city and huge part of what that 2016 championship represented. But, like, at this point, Kevin Love is Kevin Love. I'm really sad to say I think he's washed, Mike, in the NBA. And maybe that's a hot take. Maybe it's not. I'm sure you kind of agree with me, but I just don't think Philadelphia is like, oh yeah, I want Kevin Love. So there's going to be someone that's going to give them a better offer than Kevin Love in a few pieces, right? I mean, you got to imagine that that's not the best offer they're going to get.
No, I can't imagine. I don't know what the Cavs would have to throw in there to make it worth your while. It's almost like you'd have to throw in, I think you'd have to put in two out of the three of Garland, Sexton, and Okoro. I think you'd have to lose two of those three guys. And then you'd probably also have to attach a first-round pick or two, which, all right, let me ask you this question. Let's break it down very, very simply. Would you want Ben Simmons on your team? Forget about whether or not you'd – just imagine
yes,
you're a
– I would
just
think
– imagine you're a hypothetical NBA team. Do you want Ben Simmons on your team after what you've seen?
Yes, I want Ben Simmons on my team, but I don't want to overpay for Ben Simmons. And
okay,
I think that's
– just take it in a vacuum. So you would want Ben Simmons on your team?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I think I would want Ben Simmons on my team too, but I have a caveat. I think
that don't play him the last 5 minutes of the game.
No, I wouldn't even go that far. But I think I've always been, and anybody who's listened to the podcast for a long time, and you can obviously back me up on this, that for a long time, I was of the mindset that I thought Simmons was the more important player to the Philadelphia 76ers than Joel Embiid.
And obviously, I always say was the most important player?
You always said Embiid was the most important player. So kudos to you. You had that right. Now, Simmons has kind of gone south with his mentality and the fact that he's passing up dunks in the playoffs, that he only took four shots in the fourth quarter, that he shot 35% from the free throw line. Those are all things that are not physical issues. Those are mental issues, mental hurdles. Something has gone wrong inside of Ben Simmons' mind with his ability, whether it's just he's afraid to go to the free throw line. I don't know what it is. But I do know that once that happens, it is very, very difficult to fix. Now, he's still an unbelievably talented player. He still can do a ton of things out on the floor to help you win. Obviously, on the defensive end of the floor, he's a menace, probably one of the, if not the best, wing defender in the league right now. And offensively, at least not in the last 5 minutes, he can do so many things. He's such a good passer. He gets the basket. He's a huge, huge human being at 6'10" that can handle the ball and get to the rim. But yet, I just don't think that he's ever going to be what I thought he was going to be 2 years ago, where even if he was a guy without a jump shot during live action, if Ben Simmons could shoot 70% from the line and not have it be in his head, I think his ceiling is imminently higher than where it is now. Because I think right now, that's always going to be there. Even if he overcomes it to some degree, it's always going to be there lingering in the back of his head. And I don't know that we're in a position where Ben Simmons is ever going to be the best player on a championship team. Could he be the second best player? Maybe. Could he be the third best player? Probably. But I don't know if I'd want to build my franchise around Ben Simmons. I would still want him on my team, but I think that mental hurdle is going to be a difficult one for him to get all the way up to the top of the mountain. Maybe he gets 3/4 of the way there. Maybe he gets 80% of the way there. But I just don't think he's ever going to become the player that he could have been had this problem not afflicted
him. All right. For the Cavs, Mike, if I can trade Colin Sexton, Kevin Love, and 2 first-round picks for Ben Simmons, do you do it?
No.
So what do I have to get rid of? Make it 1 first-round pick?
I think if you take it down to 1 first pick, then I'm interested.
Kevin Love, Colin Sexton, a first-round pick, and a second-round pick.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Kevin Love's a tax, though, man. Kevin Love is not an asset. Kevin Love is a tax.
Okay. Listen. So, well, you got to make the money work. That's
right,
the problem.
I'm just saying. Kevin Love is not an asset the Cavs are giving away. Kevin Love is a tax that other teams are going to have to pay that they don't want to pay him. So that's what's difficult about that. If Kevin Love was an asset, it might make a little bit more sense. Look, could that deal potentially get done? I honestly don't think you're doing it. Maybe it's only one of Garland, Sexton, and Okoro if you're going to give 2 first-round picks. But you better have some protections on those so that those aren't going to convey until 3, 4, 5 seasons down the road when potentially your team could be better. When those young guys are better and ready. I wouldn't want a pick that is going to convey in the next year or two, because even with Ben Simmons, I still think this team has some struggles and some growing pains ahead of it before they're ready to be good.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
All right.
Can we do this real quick?
Sure.
And I mean real quick. This is simply a yes or no situation. Let's go through what are the teams that Simmons could legitimately potentially be traded to? So I'm just going to go down the conference. You just tell me a yes or no. I don't want to get into some giant analysis.
Okay.
We can maybe stop and talk about 1 or 2 teams, but I don't want to spend 5 minutes with each of these teams. But just let's eliminate a bunch of teams right off the bat. Brooklyn.
No.
Milwaukee.
No.
The Knicks.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think the Knicks are a maybe. The Knicks have some intriguing young pieces and probably some draft picks. Same thing that they could kind of offer up for Dame Lillard. They could throw in a bunch of their young guys and potentially bring Simmons to New York. I'm not sure that's the best fit for Ben Simmons to be in New York City, but that's another thing. But I do think they have some intriguing things that they could do.
I honestly think he needs to go to a smaller market. I don't think he needs to be in a big market anymore. So
That's how I feel. Atlanta.
No.
No, it doesn't make sense with Trae Young. Miami. No. Boston.
No. No. Not at all? I'm not going to go to Boston. Not that the Philadelphia is going to try to like placate Ben Simmons, but I think he's going to end up in a smaller market.
Is there any way Boston values Ben Simmons more than they might value Jaylen Brown.
That would, I mean, possibly, but I think that would be a mistake in my opinion.
Okay, that's fair.
Because you can't take away all the years that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have played together. I agree.
And
it
seems like their skill sets though overlap a little bit.
They're
obviously not identical players, but it feels like Simmons and Tatum would be very complementary or more complementary than Brown and Tatum.
Maybe. I think the difference isn't that much, to be honest with you.
There's no blockbuster Celtics Sixers trade coming anyway, so.
No.
All right, the Wizards.
They already experienced the Russell Westbrook. I don't see that happening. I think they're in full rebuild mode. I don't think they're going to do that.
So you don't see a pieces parts trade from the Wizards with some number one draft picks?
Ernie Grunfeld's still not the GM there, okay. So I'm going to say no on that one.
Okay, Pacers.
No.
It just doesn't seem like a very Pacery move. I don't know why, but yeah, I'm with you. Charlotte.
No, that's not. I don't think that would work.
No, LaMelo's already the guy.
Well, and LaMelo's dating his ex-girlfriend, so they're not going to get it. That wouldn't work very well.
All right, Chicago.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get into TMZ. I didn't mean to TMZ you there, Mike. But
yeah, I understand. Is there any – the Chicago Bulls, is there any truth to Zach LaVine for Ben Simmons?
No, there's zero truth to that. I think that's garbage.
I agree. I don't see that making any sense for Chicago.
No, it's not going to work. No. You're not going to give away the most prolific scorer on your team for Ben Simmons. Sorry.
And I just think that LaVine, as good as he's been, he still hasn't really played any meaningful games in the NBA. And if you're Philly, I don't know that I want to throw in for Zach LaVine when I have no idea what kind of a playoff performer he's going to be. Now, he could be very, very good. The things that he does well are things that translate to the playoffs, but we haven't seen it. So I don't know if I'd be willing to go all in on LaVine if I was Philly. Yeah. And if I'm Chicago, I don't know that I want Simmons. Toronto.
That seems like a Toronto move. I'm not saying that they're going to do it. And they're also in a kind of a rebuild mode after trading Lowry away. But it seems like that would be a Toronto-y move. They took a flyer on Kawhi and it worked out. Like, why not? Why not
Siakam, another player, and some combination of draft picks seems like it could potentially.
But here's the argument: would Toronto really want to part with Siakam for? I mean, is bringing Ben Simmons, swapping Ben Simmons and Siakam, a few other players? What's the net gain for Toronto? I don't know that there's
better,
a net.
Simmons is better than Siakam. That's
yes,
the argument.
But how
Simmons
many more wins? I mean, is it going to put Toronto over the top? Or do put them in any situation where they're going to be other than still just fighting for a play-in tournament?
Probably not, but I guess, like I said, the argument would be if you're Toronto, I'm not even saying it's true. If you're Toronto, the argument is Simmons is better than Siakam. We give up some pieces, parts around him. We bring in Simmons. Masai is a good GM. He's going to do some things along the margins that can help us to get back to relevancy. So I think Toronto's a possibility, but I'd be surprised. All right, the Cavs, we already talked about. Orlando?
No. No.
I don't think Orlando has enough. They're not going to trade Jalen Suggs. Yeah, they're not trading Fultz back to Philly. So the Pistons?
No.
No. You already have Cade. All right, let's go out west. Utah?
No.
Do Simmons and Donovan Mitchell fit together at all?
I said no, Mike. I know.
All right. I actually think those two guys fit together, but I don't know what Utah can package together that would be of any interest to Philly. Phoenix.
Joe Ingles. Phoenix, no. No, 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 no.
Denver.
Simmons and Jokic together would be intriguing, but with Jamal Murray and, I mean, I know Jamal Murray is likely out for a majority of the season, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think that works.
Could you trade injured Jamal Murray?
I don't think you can trade injured players in the NBA.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. And Philly's not going to do that anyway because they want to win this year. They don't want to wait a whole nother year. But yes, you're right. Simmons, his passing, and Jokic's passing, that would be a fun combination. You just give the ball to Jokic in the last 5 minutes and put Simmons on the bench or in the dunker spot or standing outside the three-point line like Manute Bol. Who knows? The Clippers.
No.
No, they don't have – I don't know what they would package together.
No, they traded everything else away already, so that's the problem.
Right, unless you're going to ship out Paul George and try to bring back Simmons, and I'm not sure that makes any sense. Dallas.
No, not with Luka.
No. Luka has the ball. Portland.
Nope. Unless you're getting Dame, and I don't think that Portland's going to swap Dame for Ben Simmons, so no.
No, I don't think so either. The Lakers.
I'm going to say no, but it's clutch, so, right? Ben Simmons is clutch, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so I'm going to say I'm a hesitating no, and I don't know what they could trade to get him, to be honest with you. So
yeah,
I mean, they just got Westbrook and they can't trade Westbrook until November, I believe. So yeah, I'm going to say no.
I could see him getting to LA somehow, but I have no idea what the mechanism would be that would make that happen, because I don't know, they can't trade anything, or at least not anything that they would want to trade. Memphis?
No.
Golden State?
I could see that. I could see it. I don't know what they would have to package to get it there, and I don't know if they have what they could package, but Golden State would be kind of interesting.
See, because Philly wants to win now because you have Embiid, right? So,
mm-hmm.
In theory, Golden State has Wiseman, Kuminga, Wiggins. I don't know what their draft pick situation is like in terms of what they could still trade away, but those are not moves that in the short term are going to make Philly better. They're intriguing pieces, and I think when you just look at maybe the value of those players, it's probably pretty good value, but I think Philly's going to want to get a more established player back than what Golden State could provide. San Antonio?
No, there's nothing that's intriguing.
Trade some combination of Lonnie Walker and Derek White, DeJounte Murray.
No, I have a feeling that you? Pop would not sign off on the trade, so no.
New Orleans?
No.
The ball's in Zion's hands. Sacramento?
Yes, Sacramento. That's the winner. That's my spot.
Okay.
Because here, let me throw this out here. Buddy Hield. What's that other guy's name?
De'Aaron Fox?
No. De'Aaron Fox is not going.
Halliburton?
Halliburton, yeah. There you go. Halliburton, Hield, a pick. The 76ers. That makes the 76ers a better team.
So then Sacramento still has De'Aaron Fox. They have Davion Mitchell, who they just drafted.
And then you have Simmons. Yeah. That's their spot right there.
Man, I think if you're Philly, don't you have to get back De'Aaron Fox in that trade?
No, I think you can with Halliburton and Buddy Hield, I think you can do it.
I think Philly holds out and tries to get De'Aaron Fox instead of, I don't know which one of those two guys. You probably, if you're Philly, you'd probably want Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, the Kings are not gonna trade.
No, they're Fox not trading away. Both of those guys.
No, they're not trading Fox. I don't think they're trading Fox for Simmons. Okay. I think it has to be the other thing. I think it has to be Hield and Halliburton.
All right, that's fair. Minnesota.
Who knows? Minnesota might try to. They're in la la land.
Simmons would be kind of fun on that team, but what would you have to trade away to get him? Could you get Simmons without trading away Towns, without trading away D'Angelo Russell, and without trading away Anthony Edwards?
I think zero. I think there's a zero chance unless you had traded one of those guys away.
I don't know what Minnesota has left in terms of picks that they have tradable, but obviously,
I think they don't have much.
Yeah, I don't think they have much either. So
I'm gonna look it up right now. Minnesota trade assets here, Mike. I'll do a little crack research.
All right.
Crack research here. Minnesota trade asset. Oh, When the article starts off that Malik Beasley is two most tradable assets at this point are Malik Beasley and that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. yeah. Malik Beasley and Ricky Rubio. So this article is from before the Ricky Rubio trade. And so if Malik Beasley is the only thing that's high on your trade, I just don't know.
That's a hard no. Oklahoma City?
Presti probably has the draft picks to do it. So theoretically, yes. But I don't
Philly
know.
Philly wants a player back. Philly wants somebody that can help win now. Oklahoma City's not going to give up Shea in order to get Ben Simmons. So that's a no. Houston?
I mean, I don't think Houston does it. No, they don't have enough.
No, I don't either. They had an opportunity, right, to trade for Ben Simmons with the James Harden trade, and they passed already once. So I don't see them going that way. We got a couple potential destinations.
Yeah. So where do you think? Where do you think he ends up? I think it's Sacramento. I really do. I think Sacramento's the place. And that's a small enough. Even though it's in California, it's a small enough market. It's a small market field team.
I think it's San Antonio. I'm sorry, Sacramento, Portland, or the New York Knicks. One of those three.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike. That sounds good. All right. Are we going to do our game, or do you want to save it for next week, Mike?
Let's see. How much time? What are we at here? We're at 39 minutes. How much time do we want to dedicate to this? Can we do it in 10 minutes, or do we want to extend it out?
I think we save it for next week, and we can leave our audience in suspense about what we're going to do. And maybe we can do it that way. We could do it both ways that we were talking before the podcast, Mike.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay. So for those of you that obviously you didn't listen to our beginning conversation, we have a little tweet thing where we build your own $15 team and build your own team based on these pictures. And we'll tweet it out when we get closer to doing it next week. But
25 Mike, players to choose from. Some are $5 players. Some are four. Some are three. Some are two. Some are one. And you have to build a $15 team.
Yep.
So there are two different ways. The way that I was interpreting it and the way that Jason interpreted it was probably the correct
way. My way is the right way, not your way, Mike.
I think both ways will be fun. So we'll save that for next week because I'm guessing it's going to be another slow news week. Unless Simmons gets traded. But I think it'll be a fun exercise, and we'll save it for next week. And I don't think there's anything else.
No, I don't think there is anything else. Congrats to the Cavs for signing Taco Fall. Every day is a Taco Tuesday. I'm very excited about that.
Good work, Cavs. Do not forget about the Buckeye Coaches Clinic. Head over to hoopheadspod.com to check that out. And hopefully we'll see a bunch of our Cleveland area listeners and Cleveland area coaches at the clinic at Olmsted Falls High School on Saturday, September 25th. I think that's it. I think we are done. We appreciate you listening tonight, and we will catch everyone on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.